Amen. Thank you, choir, Jennings and Macy, for those good songs. It's now time for children's church. If we have any little tykes, six and under. The rest of us will be in the book of Job. Job chapter 3 is where we will start in verse 20. Job chapter 3, verse 20. Job chapter 3, verse 20. If you've never read the book of Job, I would encourage you to read it. It's kind of a long book. However, really, the first four or five chapters kind of set the tone, and the last four chapters kind of wrap the story up. Really, the bulk of the book of Job is simply a discussion between Job and his friends who have come to comfort him in his suffering. And that's really what the book of Job is about. It's about suffering. And it is a good book for us to read. However, if you have read it before, you know that it probably leaves you with a lot more questions than it does answers. Especially as we begin to look at the beginning of the book of Job, we may kind of scratch our head at some of the things that we see there. And we're going to talk about it a little bit today, and I probably won't be able to answer your questions about Job, so I'm sorry for that. But it does give us a lot to think about and consider in our own lives, because like Job, each of us suffer in many ways throughout our lifetime. Sometimes in great ways, in the way that Job does, and sometimes maybe in lesser ways, but we all know what it means to suffer in some way. And I think that that's why this book is beneficial to us. So let's read through this couple of verses here, Job chapter 3, verses 20 through 22. And then we'll pray and get started. Why is light given to one burdened with grief, and life to those whose existence is bitter, who wait for death, but it does not come, and search for it more than for hidden treasure, who are filled with much joy and are glad when they reach the grave? Let's pray. God, we come to you this morning and we thank you for your word. And your word is good, dear Lord, and you are good. And we need to be reminded of that sometimes, dear Lord, because perhaps we are guilty, dear Lord, sometimes in our suffering of questioning you and doubting you, dear Lord, or maybe even getting angry with you, God. But I pray that in these few minutes today that your Holy Spirit would speak to us, that you would help us this morning in the midst of our suffering. Dear Lord, perhaps there are some in this room today that are suffering and suffering greatly. I pray, dear Lord, that even if they don't get an answer to all their questions today, dear Lord, that they would at least find comfort in your presence, God. That they would at least know that you have not forgotten them, dear Lord. That they would know that you are in control today. So God, I pray that you take away any pride or any fear that I have this morning, that every word that is said is for your glory. I pray, dear Lord, that you would help us to listen, to hear from you, that your Holy Spirit would do the work, dear Lord. Free us from distractions and worries. And I pray that you would help us to draw closer to you and find strength in you today. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Job is a man who experiences great suffering. I'll tell you the story very quickly. I encourage you to read it for yourself. But in the beginning of the book of Job, we see this discussion between Satan and God. And ultimately, what occurs is God allows Satan permission to do essentially whatever he wants to Job, apart from killing. Now, he starts off with some small things by taking away things that he has, and eventually Job still praises the Lord. He loses his stuff, he loses his children, he loses pretty much everything that he has. Now Job is a righteous man. We see that in the beginning of the story, that Job is a righteous and godly man. And all of these things are taken from him by Satan, which God allows. And Job still praises the Lord. And Satan's not happy with this. And he says, but if you let me do whatever I want to Job, if you let me punish him and bring pain to him, God, then you will see that this man who is a righteous and godly man, that he won't stick by you. And God, again, as this comes with some difficulty and some questions in and of themselves that we won't look at today, but God allows this to take place. And Satan does all these things to Job, and Job's body's covered with all these sores, and Job is just miserable. And we see that in the first couple of chapters. We're introduced to this story, and it doesn't take long until even Job's wife says, look, why don't you just curse God and die? Why don't you just get this over with? And pretty soon his friends come, and his friends, they start out on a high note. Because it said his friends come and they sit with him and they're trying to be a comfort to him. And it says they don't know what to say, so they just sit there with him in silence. And after that, things go downhill because they open their mouth. And as soon as they open their mouth, they begin to give Job bad advice. They tell Job, they say, look, Job, you have sinned and done something really bad. Because God, he's done took your family, he's done made you sick, he's took everything you had, your wealth, your livestock, everything you got is gone. Job, you have messed up. And each of his friends take turns, one after the other. They'll go on there and say, Job, you need to do this and do this, and you need to not do that, and you need to examine yourself, and you just need to confess your sin. And then Job will come back and say, I've been living right. There's no sin in me. I don't know what's going on. And he'll kind of confront them. And then the next friend will take a turn. And there's three friends that are there at the beginning and a fourth friend that comes toward the end. But the first three friends ain't worth nothing. They just continually condemn Job and his suffering. And at the end of the book, we see a wonderful conclusion. Because as we see throughout the book, we see Job begin to question God more and more and more. He begins to call out God. Come on, God, talk to me. Bring your case against me. Show me what I have done. And he begins to, you can sense a little anger there, a little frustration there. And he's a godly man, but he's tired of this, and he wants to know why these things are happening to me. And I think that is the main question in the book of Job, is why. And that's what we see in this first verse that we look at. Why, God? Why are you allowing this to happen to me? God, why am I where I am? Why am I going through what I'm going through? God, I would rather be dead and in the grave and my life be done. Why won't you just let me die, God? Why? And this is a question that we see repeated again and again and again in the book of Job. Let me read you just a couple of more verses here. Job chapter 10, verse 18. Why did you bring me out of the womb? I should have died and never been seen. Now this is pretty serious. And perhaps some of us have felt this way before. You ever said that or heard somebody that say that in the middle of your suffering and your pain and your hardship? You say, I just wish I'd never been born. I wish I was never here. God, why did you even allow me to be born if it's just to live this life in pain and suffering? And that's the question that Job asked. And Job was a godly and righteous man. And that goes to show that even men and women who love God and who seek God and who try to live for God, there are times in our life that we just question and we don't understand and we say, God, why? We see another example of this in Job chapter 13, verse 24. Why do you hide your face and consider me your enemy? Where are you at, God? Why don't you show yourself to me, God? Why can't I see you? Why don't you speak to me? Why don't you reveal yourself to me, God? Where are you at? Are you hiding from me? God, am I your enemy? I'm being treated like one that is being punished. God, why are you allowing this to happen? We see the question again in Job chapter 21, verse 7. Why do the wicked continue to live, growing old and becoming powerful? You ever asked that question before? God, why do bad things happen to good people? God, why is it that there are some people in this world that do evil after evil after evil, and they live long lives, and they appear to be blessed for their evil? They continue to have good. They continue to not have anything to worry about. Why is it, God, that godly and righteous men and women who serve you are stricken with disease and whose lives are cut short and who experience all kind of pain and suffering? God, why do you allow this? And this is the million-dollar question. And I suspect for everybody in this room, there have been times in your life where you have asked God, why? Why? That's the answer we want. Why? But here's what the book of Job teaches us. God doesn't ever answer Job's why. He never does. He never answers that question. And I suspect that for most of us today, if not all of us, that we have probably asked God why at some point in time in our life and not gotten an answer. Maybe sometimes we do. Maybe some of those whys have an answer. But a lot of time, our whys go unanswered. We are just as frustrated and just as suffering as much as Job and just as angry with God. And we want God to show up and to speak and to make it right and to tell us why He did what He did. And so many times we beg and we plead and we cry out to God, and God remains silent. He doesn't answer our why question. Now, I wish right now I could say, and here's why God does that. But I can't tell you the answer to that question. Because He is God, and we are not. We can look at the way God does things, and certainly we can improve on them. At least we think we could. Well, if I was God, here's the way that I would do this. Y'all ever said that before, or know somebody that said that before? Maybe you see somebody, like you see an electrician, he's working on the wiring, and somebody beside you says, I don't think he's doing that right. That ain't the way I would do that. And I say, oh, really? I didn't know you were an electrician. Well, I ain't, but if I was, I know that ain't the way you do it. Have any of us ever been so bold to say that? We call somebody else out for doing something wrong when we don't have a clue how to do it either, but we know they ain't doing it right. And sometimes we do that with God. We're not God. Now, think for just a second. God is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He has spoken things into existence. He has made your body in all its complexity to be able to breathe and see and hear and smell, and your heart to beat thousands and millions of times throughout your lifetime. And we are going to tell God how to do things. And we may say, well, I don't know how it's supposed to be done, but I know the way He's doing it ain't right. But what we have to remember is that God's ways are higher than our ways, and God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Now, I don't know why God does the things that He does, but I know this: He is God and I am not. And it's a good thing that we are not God, because we can only see as humans. And we would change things and make the best decisions we could make in changing situations as human. But God is so much greater than us, and He sees and He knows everything. And so the decisions that God makes, and this is the hard part, the things that God allows us to go through are for a purpose. And it doesn't seem fair, and it's often extremely painful. But God is God. And for many people, that is not a sufficient answer. But that is the only answer that we can hold firm to, is to know that God, the God that created the heavens and the earth, knows what He's doing. He knows what He's doing, and we may not understand what He is doing, but we have to trust Him. And maybe even in trusting Him. Job never stopped trusting God, but he was angry at God. He never cursed God like his wife told him to. He never did what his friends told him to, but he still was in the midst of great suffering, and he just wanted to hear from God. And so he continued to ask, why? And God never answered his questions. And maybe in the midst of our sufferings, we're asking why, but maybe there are better questions that we could ask today. Maybe we could ask how in the midst of our suffering. Maybe we could ask God, how can I be better than Job's friends? God, maybe there are people around us who are suffering. And maybe we are like Job's friends and we are just as quick to call them out and say it's their fault and say that they've done something wrong. Maybe we can look at this story and say, God, how can I be better than Job's friends and Job's wife and all those around him? Because if we're not in a season of suffering in our life, you're not going to have to look very far to see someone who is suffering that you know. Some people in this church, look around. You see it on their face. You hear it in their voice. You know what they're going through sometimes. Sometimes you don't. Sometimes you know their situation. Sometimes you know their sickness. Sometimes you know their trouble at work. How can we be better friends than Job's friends? Maybe that's a good question for us to ask in our suffering or when it comes to the sufferings of others. Maybe we could ask who? Who? God, who could I help through the suffering that you've brought me through? Now, maybe there's times in the past that you have gone through some great suffering in your life. And God has got you through it by His Word, by His Spirit, by His grace, by His mercy, through another brother and sister in Christ. Maybe through some of your suffering, God has brought you peace and comfort. And maybe you need to say in the midst of your suffering today, or in the midst of those who suffer around you, God, who can I help through this? God, what situation have I been through that I see somebody I know that's going through that situation and I can go to them and I can say, brother, I know what it's like to go through that. Sister, I know what it's like to go through that. And I know in the midst of the suffering, it seems like there is no hope, but I want to tell you, God helped me and there is hope. Maybe that's a better question to ask. Maybe another question we could ask instead of why is what? God, what can I learn in the midst of this suffering? God, what are you trying to teach me in the midst of this? And oftentimes, perhaps we learn something about ourselves that we didn't realize. Perhaps in the midst of our suffering, God wants us simply to seek His Word more. Maybe through our suffering, God is trying to strengthen our faith. Maybe through our suffering, God is just trying to wake us up. God, what can you teach me through my suffering? What can I learn? And maybe if we begin to reflect on ourselves and our suffering, maybe we see some things there that aren't good. Some things that maybe we would call out to God and seek Him, that God would begin to work in our life. Maybe another question we could ask is, when? God, when will I get through this? And how can I use it to grow in you, God? When will these things end? Maybe God gives us an answer to that. Maybe He doesn't. But maybe not even getting an answer to the when will this end, maybe even still God will strengthen our faith and help us to grow in Him and trust in Him and be patient in Him all the more. Another thing perhaps we could ask instead of why is where. Where will this lead me, dear Lord? Where will this lead me? When will this end? What's going to be the end point of this? What's going to be the result of all this? Where will all of this suffering end up? And in the story of Job, it ends in a good place. Job continued to seek God and he continued to trust God even though he was angry with God and he had called out to God and he asked why? And God never responded until the end of the book. And finally God said, Job, here I am. Now you sit there and listen to me like a man. And then God proceeded to tell Job, Job, who are you to question me? God, I have created, Job, I have created the universe. I have created everything that you see. I know how wildlife works. I know how they live. I know how they give birth. I know where the rain comes from. I know how to keep the oceans in their place. I can command lightning bolts to strike and where they're going to strike and where they're going to land. I can command the sun, the moon, and the stars and everything that there is. And they listen to me. Job, where were you when I did these things? Job, can you explain to me how these things work? Do you know these things, Job? For about two chapters, God goes on and on and on and says, let me tell you about this thing that I did, Job. Can you give me an answer to this? Let me tell you about this thing that happened, Job. Can you tell me how that works? And on and on and on and on, God goes and he responds to Job. And when God gets through responding to Job, listen to what Job said in Job chapter 40, verse 4. He says, I am so insignificant. How can I answer you? I place my hand over my mouth. That's all he had been asking for chapter after chapter after chapter. God, show yourself to me. And when God showed himself, Job said, hold up. I suspect that'd be a pretty intense thing. You know what I thought about this morning? Y'all probably heard some of this too. When that storm come through, it was some amazing thunder. I'm talking about, like, I thought the windows was going to break. They were rattling so much so, and it was just boom, just thunder, just vibrating everything. And I thought about the voice of God, and I said, you know what? That's probably what it's like when God speaks. It's probably this powerful thing that scares you to death. And here Job was ready to hear from God, and God spoke, and Job said, sorry, God, I'm not ready. He said, God, I don't know, God. He says, I am insignificant. I'm going to put my hand over my mouth. God, I'm going to shut up. That seems to be when people get in trouble in this story. Job's friends did pretty good till they opened their mouth. Job was pretty good till he opened his mouth and he realized, God, I'm insignificant. God, I never should have questioned you. God, I had no right to question you. God, I am so insignificant and you are God and my suffering is great, but God, you know what you are doing and God, I'll never question you again. I'm just going to listen to you, God. I'm just going to sit here in your presence and I'm just going to listen to you, God. And I wish I could tell you the answer to all your why questions. I wish I could tell you today that God was going to give you the answer to your why questions. But chances are, he's probably not going to tell you why. You're just going to have to continue to go through life. And you're going to have to continue to go through seasons of suffering. And like Job, you may question, you may call him out, you may be angry with him, but perhaps like Job, we need to come to this realization that God is in control. And that we may not understand what he does, we may not like what he does, it may not feel good, we may want it to end today, but God knows what he's doing. And so where will our suffering lead us? Well, if we're like Job, and we remain faithful to God, if we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, if we seek God's word to live in obedience to it, even in the midst of our suffering, there is blessing. Blessed are those who suffer for the kingdom of God. Where will it lead us? It's going to lead us to the presence of God. It's going to lead us out of this suffering. Now, I wish I could tell you today that your suffering in this world will go away one day, and it may or it may not. There are seasons of suffering in our life, and we get through them sometimes, and we move on. And sometimes we live in our season of suffering until we leave this world. I wish I could tell you that things were going to get better for you today, but I can't tell you that they are, because God is the one who is in control. But I can assure you this, that suffering will not be the end of your journey if you've trusted in Jesus Christ. That suffering will not get the final say. Even if your suffering ends in death, I can tell you today that your suffering will not win. But if you trust in God, your suffering today will lead you to the presence of God and lead you to the blessing of God. And at the beginning of the story of Job, Job lost everything that he had. But at the end of the story of Job, When God comes before Job and God calls Job out and Job says, God, I'm sorry, I should have kept my mouth shut. You know what God does for him? He blesses Job. More so than he had ever been blessed before. More flocks, more herd, more children, more money, more everything, and with a long life. And at the end of it all, at the end of his suffering, Job found the mercy and the grace and the blessing of God. And so it shall be for you and I. Maybe in this life. There are times in this life we go through suffering and we experience God's blessing at the end of it all. Praise the Lord. But even should God choose not to end our suffering in this life, and the thing that we are suffering to today ends in death, even if it leads to more suffering and more suffering for days and months and weeks and years, let us not be like Job and question God, but let us be like Job at the conclusion of the book where he knew who God was and he said, God, I know that you're in control and I'm not going to question you. So I don't know the answer to your why question today, and God's probably not going to answer it, but I can tell you this. It may not seem like it today, but God is good. It may not seem like it in your suffering, but God loves you. It may not seem like it in your suffering, but God hears your prayers. He cares about you. And even in our suffering, there may be something that God can teach us. Even in our suffering, it may help us to help others. Even in our suffering, it may draw us closer to Him. And I can promise you this today, that if you trust in God, if you put your faith in Jesus Christ, at the end of your suffering, there will be blessing for all of eternity in the presence of God. And the good news is that once we are in the presence of God for all of eternity, we will suffer no more. Maybe today you need to go before God and you need to say, God, I just need you to help me. Maybe you need to stop asking why, and just saying, God, I need you. I don't understand. I'm hurting. I don't like it, God. Just please let me feel your presence. Let me feel your comfort. Give me a moment of rest. Give me a moment of hope, dear Lord. Just let me know that you hadn't forgotten me today. And maybe these very scriptures we read today is that reminder for us that God has not forgotten us. He has not abandoned us. And whatever we're going through in our life, it's not that we're being punished for something. It may be the opposite. It may be that just as God used this experience to strengthen Job and draw him closer to him, that God wants to do the same for us today. Because I can guarantee you, even though Job was a righteous and faithful man of God at the beginning of the book, he was even more so at the end of the book. And oftentimes the things that God wants to do in our life to grow us, they only come through suffering. Let us not question God today. But let us trust Him. Let's pray. God, we come to you today. We thank you for these words and we thank you for this book. God, this is a hard book for us to understand and wrap our heads around. And God, we can relate to Job because, God, there are so many times that we want to know why, and we ask you and we ask you. And dear Lord, we even feel like some of the things, same things maybe that Job feels. We wonder, dear Lord, why you let us linger on in this world. In the midst of our suffering. We wonder why you even brought us into this world to start with. We wonder, why aren't you here? Why aren't you listening? God, we wonder if you're punishing us. We wonder if you even care, dear Lord. But I pray that we would see and know through the book of Job that even in suffering, dear Lord, you do not forget about the one who is yours. That even in our suffering, dear Lord, it doesn't mean that we're being punished for something we did. God, sometimes life happens, and dear Lord, it's hard for us to wrap our head around and understand why you allow some of the things to occur, but yet you are God. So I pray, as hard as it may be, that we would accept that truth and live on that truth today, dear Lord, that we would not forget that you are in control. And then most importantly, dear Lord, we would not forget that we would know today that you sent Jesus Christ to suffer and die on a cross for us so that through him we could have an ultimate escape from our suffering. So God, I pray that while we walk this earth, that you give us strength. I pray that you give us comfort. I pray that you help us, dear Lord. We are weak and our sufferings beat us down and wear us down and they just get the best of us sometimes, dear Lord. But I pray that on those days that we question and doubt and we wonder why, that you would bring us back to the cross of Jesus Christ, to know that, God, you've got something better for us than what this world has to offer. And maybe in this world, dear Lord, we don't see much good, but dear Lord, we see Jesus Christ. He is the best thing that there is, dear Lord. And so through him, dear Lord, I pray that we would keep an eye to the future, keep an eye to an eternity where we will be able to escape suffering forever. But God, I pray for those in this room that are suffering today. Maybe there are some that are in the midst of just a horrible time in their life with whatever it may be. I pray, God, that in this moment that your Holy Spirit would just give them peace. Let them feel your presence now, dear Lord. Give them some comfort and some joy in the midst of this suffering. God, give them that boost that they need today to keep going and not give up and not question you, but to trust you, dear Lord. Maybe there are some in this room that have been through extreme suffering and they've made it through, dear Lord. I pray that anybody that's done that would just help others who suffer. God, I pray that you would help us just to seek you and to trust you today. I pray that you can help us to see in the midst of our sufferings how you may want to use that, dear Lord, to grow us and to teach us and help us to learn things to draw us closer to you. God, I pray right now that if there's any this morning that have made a decision to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, maybe today they realize that they need some hope and they haven't found it in the world and they're suffering. But God, I pray today that they would know that there is hope and there is love and there is grace and there is forgiveness and there is one who brings us comfort and can deliver us from our suffering in Jesus Christ. And I pray, God, that if there is one that has put their faith in Jesus today, that they would come forward as we sing, dear Lord, and let us know about that decision, that we can rejoice with them. God, maybe there are some today that are suffering. Maybe they need prayer. If they want to come down and get prayer, dear Lord, I encourage you to just put it on their heart, dear Lord. Maybe they need to just seek somebody else in their life to help them in their time of suffering. Whatever it is, dear Lord, if you've spoken to anybody this morning, I pray that they would respond to you now. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As we stand and sing, if God has spoken to you today, now's your chance to respond. If you need prayer this morning, I'll be happy to pray for you. If you've accepted Jesus today and you put your faith and trust in Him, I encourage you to come forward as we sing and let us know that we can rejoice with you and that we can baptize you just as Jesus commanded. Check your email. You will have an invite. Go ahead and sign up. Or if you need help, come back tonight. But I encourage you to come and be part as we talk a little more about that. Dad, would you close us with a prayer, please?
Lord, we thank you for a beautiful day today.